I'm Joe Torti, and today on a Trubisky Business Edition of This Week in Pro Football.
The suddenly resurgent Eagles welcome Mitch and the struggling 3-4 Bears to the link. So which Birds team shows up tomorrow?
The trade deadline passes with nary a ripple from NovaCare. So this is the group to go 6-2 and win the division?
Another needless whistle hands Tampa Bay a loss, which begs the question, are there Jordan rules in the NFL?
Who has the better fight song? G. Cobb on holdouts and GMs. Sal Powell rolls out the hot seats, and the pick segment is beyond belief right now on This Week in Pro Football.
This Week in Pro Football.
Don't make me sock you.
This Week in Pro Football.
Leave it up. We ain't on three. 1, 2, 3.
The hardest hitting football show in Philadelphia.
Expert guests.
Featuring weekly correspondent Sal Palantonio, taking you inside the Eagles and the entire NFL.
31.
This Week in Pro Football.
Are you ready for some football?
And now, Pat Callahan.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Week 9 of This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic. And live from the Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Bensalem, PA. Joined, of course, by my boy Joey Torti. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Pat. It's a fabulous Saturday for this week in Pro Football.
It is.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful day. I want everybody to get up here. We had a lot of company last week, so it'd be nice if some people stopped by here at the table. And what a swag table we've got today for anybody who wants to come over here and visit with us, right?
Fully loaded. If you are in the market for any kind of t-shirts, rally towels, or hats, or you like the noise that the wheel makes when it spins, you should come down and hang out with us here today.
Well, it'd be great to see everybody here at the Parks Casino Sportsbook if you want to swing by. And Joey T, just one minor thing I'd like to bring up here as we roll into the next three-hour extravaganza. What I think I might do with you and Tyler this week is I'm going to let you pick three games from last week.
Okay.
And see maybe if you guys can, how you do there. I'm thinking you at least go 1-2 if maybe you pick last week's games. What do you think?
Well, so the problem was, right, that I had horrendously bad picks, and I made them first. And Tyler says, well, I guess I'm not making up a whole lot of ground. And I'm like, you followed me right into the gates of hell.
Tyler said, I'll show you.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
hold my beer. You think you got bad picks? Just hold on a minute.
Really rough stuff. Nowhere to go but up, Pat. Eventually,
right.
You got to bounce.
That's the,
rock bottom.
That's the way to think about it. Programming note here, Joey T, busy man. You got some other stuff you got to do, but Joey's going to be with us for at least 2 hours, right?
Yeah, and then after that, I figured I'd blow this popsicle stand.
Yeah,
I just
for you,
figure that it's
Joe,
time for bigger and better things.
He now wants to be known as Joe Buck Torti.
Right, yeah, so, exactly. That's the middle name. Jeez. But Tyler, obviously, I leave it in very capable hands with Tyler and you and Sal Powell and everybody else to soldier on during the 11 o'clock hour.
So a couple notes from last week, Joe, before we get even to our, well, we'll get into our overreactions right now, but this isn't mine, but it does speak, though, is a ripple, a little ripple forming here, like two things. Cam Newton gets some bad injury news, right? He's apparently nowhere close to coming back now for Carolina. Apparently the foot that he injured in preseason and re-injured in week two is worse,
improving.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Trent Williams of the Redskins, he reports, I guess he did that because he wanted the year to count, I guess. That's
right,
why you do it, right?
Wanted his contract to toll.
Yeah, and immediately announces that he can't play because his helmet doesn't fit. So the point of bringing them up is, boy, do you not see maybe the players have found another vein, if you will, now to try and, like in Trent Williams' case, to try and break contracts or force ownership to do something. And then the other common thing between the two is I think both are saying that the team's medical staff made a mistake.
Right, yeah, mismanaged their situations. Now, with Cam Newton, we pointed to this one a long time ago, saying that foot injuries for big fellas are usually things that you've got to worry about, and Cam Newton certainly qualifies there. The point about the contracts, I think, is an interesting one, Pat, because we've seen more and more creative ways that players are trying to increase their player mobility and kind of channel the NBA, where players can just kind of go wherever they want, whenever they want. I need to know more about this Trent Williams thing, because, like, the stories and the reports that are coming out don't clear this up much at all. You know what I mean? Talking about how he had cancer on his head and how the team wasn't checking that out and things like that. And in my mind, I'm like, can they even tell you what you can get checked out for, especially if it's something like that? Don't you have the money to get it taken care of by yourself? Investigating. So I need to know more about that situation, but it's clear that there's significant amounts of bad blood there.
Yeah.
Significant amounts.
All right, let's get to some overreactions here. We'll reverse the order here. Okay. We'll let Joey T go first. Joey, what is your week 8 overreaction?
I don't know if it's just specifically for the week or if it's bigger picture, but Joe Flacco's done with a capital D. Not going to be back starting. He's started his last game in the NFL after going on injured reserve. It sounded like a surprise to him. Wasn't playing all that effectively beforehand, and then obviously with the neck injury, we saw how long it took some players, like Peyton Manning, to come back from that. I would say that Joe Flacco not going to start another game in the National Football League.
All right, I'll answer that. I think he will start. There's no excess of quarterbacks, so I would say, Joe, he will be with an NFL team next year. Maybe not as a starter, but he'll be somewhere. If he wants to, he'll be on an NFL team next year. Tyler Zuli.
I'd almost double down on Joe's take there and say that I don't know if Joe Flacco plays in the NFL again, let alone starts another game. I think that his lack of talent at this point, it was a limited skill set that he was good at for a long time. I think that skill set has dropped. I don't know if anybody takes a chance on a guy like that because he's going to command more money than what a backup should.
Well, but you guys don't place any validity. Remember his post game where he let Vic Fangio have it, and he basically said that we just took a knee when we could have been trying to win the game, and you got to try and win the game. You guys don't buy that.
Never forget that with the season on the line before Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco, it was 4th and 24, whatever it was, in the Chargers game, and Flacco throws a 0-yard pass to Ray Rice. So don't talk to me about competitiveness. Ray Rice did. Joe Flacco did.
Flacco saw the field, and he figured, here's my best outlet here for a first down.
Okay.
All right, Tyler Zuli, your overreaction.
So I think that we all probably would be able to say that the New England Patriots are still the best team in football. But after the New England Patriots, it has come to my attention that at this point, the NFC houses the 6 next best teams in the NFL. And to say that the NFC is significantly better than the AFC at this point might be an underreaction. Yeah. It's that much of a lopsided affair.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That is not an overreaction. That was actually I was toying with saying, the way I was going to put it was that the NFC has 3 absolutely loaded teams right now. I mean, Green Bay is really good. And they kind of crept up on you a little bit, the Packers. And they did a lot of these wins with no Devontae Adams.
Right.
And between the Packers, the Saints, and the 49ers, the NFC is loaded, and that's going to be a heck of a postseason, Joey.
Well, Seattle doesn't stink. The Rams don't stink. Like, there are
Minnesota, 6-2.
Not a bad team at all. So there are some really, really good teams there. I am still curious, though, about what the Chiefs look like when Patrick Mahomes comes back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the only thing in the chemistry that's changed when we said that the Chiefs and Patriots were the two best teams in the AFC and that there were still a ton of teams in the NFC.
Yeah, but defensively, the Chiefs are middling at best. And of course, we mentioned all those stacked NFC teams like Tyler was talking about. There's that other division here. I think it's called the NFC East. There's 4 teams there, too. And maybe some of them are good. I don't know.
No, I don't think any of them are good, actually. But maybe
they all stink.
Maybe that's a week 1 through 8 overreaction. What do you have, Pat?
Mine will lead into maybe the first thing we'll talk about here on This Week in Pro Football. By the way, we're at 610-632-0975. Any topic you want to talk about, any team you want to talk about. You got fantasy questions. You got, if you want to talk to Joe and Tyler about betting issues, please do that. 610-632-0975. And Joey on social media.
It's at TWIPF Pat, at Joe Torti, and at Tyler Zuli on Twitter. The show will also be podcasted at 975thefanatic.com.
All right. Okay. My overreaction deals with Josh Gordon. I mean, I've never seen a player who, when he moves to the 19th team in the last 3 years, all the fans throw their hands up and says, why didn't we get him? I mean, this is a guy who, other than the fact he never plays football, is a pretty good player. And so, but here he is again. Seattle gets him in the whole league. Oh, look at the Seahawks. What a move they made. The guy never plays. Mm. I mean, and I actually heard one genius talking head on ESPN Radio say that Gordon is really thrilled because he's going to a team with a really, really good quarterback. Pardon me? Can we roll that back a little bit? You just were on the team with the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. And now you're happy to be going to a team, well, Russell Wilson. Russell is great, but I mean, come on. I think most of the league was like, no, please, we're not gonna do this Josh Gordon dance. And I'd like to know what you two guys think in terms of that being, you know, is my reaction an overreaction? And also, should Philadelphia have taken a look at this guy?
Yeah, Philadelphia definitely should have taken a look at this guy. But I agree with you, Pat, almost entirely in that. And everything about Josh Gordon is just obvious. Like, it's you watch him, and his football talent is obvious. And the reasons that he's not in games also obvious. Like, there's no mystery whatsoever when it comes to this guy. It's how much risk are you willing to tolerate. I did not want the Eagles involved in the Josh Gordon business early on in the season when we were talking about them being Super Bowl contenders. We were talking about all of the weapons they had, how loaded they were. That's why I wasn't interested in Antonio Brown either for the Eagles, because they had enough. Now, it does not look like they have enough, and I'm at the point now, if I'm the Eagles, where beggars can't be choosers, I'm very surprised to not have to give up draft picks, not have to invest anything other than money to just kick the tires on the guy. I think that it's a move that Seattle, a contending team, made, and I thought that was a statement that they made to their fan base and to the rest of the league.
And by the way, guys, Seattle now paying their top four receivers just about $1.5 million more combined than what Nelson Agholor makes this season.
Oh, jeez.
Now that... And you think there's some significance to that stat, Tyler, is what you're saying.
There may be a correlation, possibly.
But really, what does that speak to? Does it speak to what Seattle's doing well or what the Eagles made a mistake on, right? And do any of you guys think Agholor is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle in 2020?
No.
All right. So that's just a mistake, all right? And so now the other question becomes, do you compound the mistake by bringing in a Josh Gordon here? And I say no. I say you're both wrong. Do we need another receiver on his team? And this is a guy who he's not a speed. He's not a burner, right, Joe?
I'd say that he is.
You think he is?
I'd say that I would say that he's a size and a speed guy. Yeah, I would say that, actually.
But anyway, you got DeSean Jackson now finally coming back. Now, yes. You're going to have to make the assumption that he's healthy enough and he's going to play.
Okay.
So now you got DeSean Jackson to fill that role, which he was filling very well until, of course, he had that injury. Right? You still have Agholor for whatever the hell he's worth. You have Alshon, who for some reason is just not having a good year. I don't know what it is. You got the two tight ends, which the Eagles, quite frankly, underutilize. Mm-hmm. You know, not that it's Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski, but they could have some sort of hybrid of that, which I think could be very effective today.
I agree.
So, I mean, what real upside are you gaining by bringing in another guy to want the ball? And this is a guy who rarely, if ever, plays three games in a row.
Well, he's got 300 yards or so receiving this year with New England, playing through injuries and battling through. And by a lot of accounts, now obviously New England releasing him off injured reserve, you have to read into why that might be. Bill Belichick's reasoning was not helpful. He said, we released him because he was healthy, passed his physical. So I think that's a typical Belichick response. For me, it's not, is he better than DeSean Jackson? It's not even, is he better than Alshon Jeffrey? It's that Mac Hollins is playing way too many snaps and doing absolutely nothing for this team. I would argue that I don't need to see Nelson Agholor. I said this before the season started, that I don't need to see Nelson Agholor on the field. So I don't think Agholor is going to be a big holdup. I just think that it was a low-risk move. Your locker room already has some issues in it. It's not like he's going to come in and totally wreck all of the chemistry that you've built up. And it's not like you're rolling and that you've got to worry about him landmining this thing. I just really did. I thought it was a high-upside, low-risk move. And clearly Howie Roseman decided otherwise.
Yeah, I would agree with Howie here. I just don't see it. Now, I mean, I think in terms of the trade deadline, I'm even trying to find Joey. There he is, Josh Gordon. 20 receptions for 287 yards. That's half the receptions that James White has for New England. I'm just not buying it. Philip Dorsett has one more reception than does Josh Gordon. I think Gordon is... and. He's just a guy who has parlayed a couple of great years with the Cleveland Browns into apparently a lifelong career in the NFL, and he's not worth it. Besides, it's you know, pot's not legal yet in Pennsylvania. It is in Washington.
It is in Washington.
So I mean, he's gonna. I think that's Russell Wilson. He's good. Yeah, but that's That's not the only reason. So I don't think the Eagles missed out much on that. But we'll segue here at 610-632-0975. The trade deadline, Joe, comes and goes, okay? And I guess the headliners are the Rams got Jalen Ramsey for a steep price. The 49ers go trade Emmanuel Sanders, right?
That looks like a perfect
Yeah,
already.
I mean, now that guy's a very good receiver, a very good speed guy, but he's willing to go over the middle. He catches most of what's thrown his way. Not much, not a peep there about him. The Patriots, of course, get Mohamed Sanu. Seattle gets Gordon and also Quandre Diggs from the Detroit Lions for, I thought, a very cheap price.
A song, yeah.
Yeah, and Philadelphia, very, very quiet. Your thoughts on that?
So I think that Howie Roseman's kind of trying to split the difference here, right? Because he's in a tough spot, if you think about it, when they're at 4-4. Truly, the season could go either way. So if you invest, I think that he's worried about Golden Tate. I think he noticed last year that maybe they overestimated what the team was. Golden Tate brings them over the top. You invest a future asset in a player that doesn't help you get over the top in the short term. So I think that he's trying to balance that with, hey, if the team actually does come together and you don't have to invest future assets in it, you look pretty smart and it looks pretty good. So I think that he's kind of in that weird spot at 4-4 where it was very difficult to make a move and to be able to justify it later if things went sideways down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned that last week, and I think it was very prescient that you said that I think maybe he was a little scarred by that Golden Tate trade because it really didn't do anything incrementally for Philadelphia. So I think he was reluctant to pull any kind of a trigger and commit. Howie doesn't like the side, you know, the Carson Wentz trade aside, obviously. He doesn't like to commit future resources to obtain, you know, like that, you know, that rental guy, you know, for whatever number of weeks. So he didn't do it. But now the question becomes, Joe, okay, this is your team now. This is the one.
Right.
Now, is this team good enough to go 6-2 and to win the division? My answer, yes, it is.
It is
not
good enough.
Not because it's an overwhelming team and the talent is literally bursting out of Novacare, because you and I rattled off, and Tyler mentioned them, you know, the teams that are the dominant teams in the NFC. I think it's a stretch to think the Eagles are going to go deep in the postseason this year. I think it's a stretch to think that any NFC East team is, either they or Dallas. But you know what? The object is to get in, right? I mean, that's really the object.
Agree.
All right, just get in and then see what happens. I think Philadelphia has a good chance to get in for two reasons. One is, I think Dallas is very mercurial, Joe. I think they're an inconsistent team, and you don't really know what you're going to get from week to week. You get a team that looks ridiculous against the Jets and then embarrasses the Eagles.
Yes.
But the other reason, so I'm not sold on Dallas by any long stretch. And then the other thing is the Eagles' schedule gets ridiculously easy. And all they got to win six, I think, Joe. So if they split with New England, Seattle.
Okay.
Right, they split now. And then there's a good chance they'll do that, right?
Okay.
And then after that, Joey Bags.
Got the Giants twice.
It's at Miami, the Giants, at Washington, home to Dallas, at the Giants. If the Eagles can't go 4-1 out of that mess, then I'd be very, very surprised, or 5-1, I should say, then I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, so there are four teams that you'd call bad, the really, really bad teams left on the schedule, and there are four games that you would look at and think that maybe they could go either way. Right. So it comes down to it. Seattle, New England, Chicago, and Dallas.
Right.
You've got to go 2-2 in those games.
Right. Right.
Assuming that you beat all of the other bad teams.
Okay.
That's kind of the way it breaks down.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. So, I mean, I think the Eagles got to go 2-2 in the games against, they got Chicago tomorrow, they got Dallas, Seattle, New England. They got to go 2-2. Is that, you think, insurmountable?
I don't think it's insurmountable. I do think it's a big ask. I think that, I personally think that it's optimistic to think that they're going to split with Seattle and New England. I just think that Seattle's kind of on the war path. New England's under-respected.
All right, pal. Let's say I stipulate. Okay. Now you got Chicago. All I got to say to you is Mitchell Trubisky.
I
can't even believe that the Eagles would lose this game tomorrow against this dope. You know, and I just can't even buy it. I mean, he is an absolute. Tim and I used to joke all the time. I used to drive Tim crazy about it. You could have Tom Brady, you could have Peyton Manning, Johnny Unitas, whatever. If they put that bear helmet on, they immediately become a dope. There's something about that helmet.
I'm trying to think. Is it Sid Luckman? Like, I'm trying to think who's the last really good
great. Yeah, name me the litany of all great bear quarterbacks. Yeah, go ahead. And I don't know what it is. So I think Philadelphia should easily beat Chicago tomorrow, and then it just comes down to, can they hold serve against Dallas at home?
That's, well, if that's the case, then they'll be in pretty good shape. Then if that's the case, they'll go, the potential game that you have is a revenge situation against the Cowboys, things like that. I can't help but think about what Doug Peterson said, though, about how Mitchell Trubisky had them in position to win the game, if not for the double doink.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the double doink. Let's get into that, too, in a minute. About the, how he had him in position to win last week. Now, it wasn't Mitchell Trubisky's fault, but we got to talk about Matt Nagy, too.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about when it comes to the Bears. Let's go to the phones with Mike and King of Prussia on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike, you're on This Week in Pro Football. Mike, you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I said good morning, gentlemen. How are
good
you
morning.
Doing?
Doing great.
So here's the thing. We're talking about how he's standing pat and, you know, being gun-shy with because of Golden Tate. But I got to wonder about this whole Jannard Avery deal for a fourth-round pick for a defensive end that hasn't even dressed for only two games this year. And I don't understand the thinking there. Like, He wasn't a high draft pick. He only had 4.5 sacks his first season. He's barely playing now. I sometimes really wonder what Howie Roseman is thinking when he's doing some of these things. Like, a fourth round pick is a lot to give up for a guy that barely plays. And I just would rather Howie just, you know, I'm not a Howie fan, and I complain about him a lot because I think he makes a lot of bonehead decisions, and I think his drafts have been terrible. And I just wonder what his thought process is. But this one just makes me even scratch my head even more. I just don't understand his methodology or what he's trying to accomplish, because this guy wasn't worth what was given up. And I don't know what he's actually going to do for this team. I don't get it. I just don't understand Howie. And I think he should really just focus on the cap and hire someone to handle talent evaluation, because it's not his thing.
Well, Mike, I mean, I guess what I would say to that, right, is that they did that. They hired Joe Douglas to kind of oversee the draft and do that kind of thing. And I would argue that that draft's one of the worst ones that they've had in a long time since 2011. That 2017 draft that Joe Douglas was really having his fingerprints all over was terrible. So, I don't know what it is.
Howie has the final say on everything. Mm. So regardless of what Joe Douglas was saying or doing, Howie was the guy at the end. So I point my finger directly at Howie, and all the blame goes to Howie because he's in charge. So I understand what you're saying, and I hate that 17 draft. I complain about it all the time. But you've got to put the blame at the feet of who it belongs to, and it's Howie because he's in charge of all that.
It's true.
The final say.
You don't blame middle management or whatever when something goes wrong with the company.
Let me ask both you guys. I ask both you guys this. Is it, do we maybe sometimes just like we romanticize draft picks to the point where, oh man, a fourth round pick, you know, you shouldn't really part with that. Okay, well that could be like the 126th player, you know.
Yeah.
And wait a minute, but what I'm saying, Mike, is that, you know, look what the Rams did, and I still think maybe they paid too much, but they got a guy who's arguably the second best corner in the NFL. They gave up a ransom for him. But next year, when the Rams pick comes along, and Jacksonville has it, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Say it's a 25th pick in the draft. The Rams can say, well, we picked Jalen Ramsey. Well, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, maybe sometimes we over protect these draft picks, and then, as Mike, you're pointing out, they don't turn into anything anyway.
I know. I think in football you build through the draft. I think this whole free agency and trading things is a fad, and I think it's bad business. You don't build your team through trades. You build it through the draft in the NFL. Other sports maybe you can get away with that, especially in baseball, but not in the NFL. You have, especially with an expensive quarterback with a big contract, you have to have deep, inexpensive draft, high draft picks that work out.
Mike, you're breaking up a little bit, man. But your point, I agree with it philosophically in terms of the importance of draft picks. And we can get into that when we return.
That's another topic, another show. Maybe as we get later in the season, Joe.
Yeah.
And that is an important one. I don't deny it. And I think it's worth fleshing out. But I don't know. Maybe, I know Mike's point is clearly the conventional wisdom is it's better in baseball, maybe better basketball, in more individual sports as it is, you know. And that may be true, but fine. The flip side is, as you were pointing out, you can't miss on the draft. You can't do it. You can stash all the draft picks you want, but if you miss on them, well, now where are you?
Well, I do think the draft picks are worth different amounts in the hands of different people.
Yeah.
I truly do believe that, and I think that the Eagles are one of the teams that have not shown that their draft picks are worth it. Now, you look at San Francisco. there is a reason why that team is as good as they are, because they have nailed draft pick after draft pick.
I know. Well, it's about time they did. I mean, they've been picking in the top five for 8 years now. So, I mean, but you are certainly right. There's no denying. So maybe we could talk to when you get back here, JT. Let's discuss which team you think shows up tomorrow. And then we could maybe talk about the dreaded players-only meeting what your thoughts are about the utility of that hand grenade.
That is coming up next, 610-632-0975. He's Pat Callahan. I'm Joe Torti. We'll be right back with more This Week in Pro Football.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Callahan and Torti back here this week in pro football. 97.5 The Fanatic and the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook and the National Football League. What do you think, Joey? See, that's not a bad, that's the Chicago Bears fight song. Joey was rising out of the chair here.
Pat, every time I hear it, the only thing I can think of is, we'll all follow the old man wherever he wants to go. Like, I was like, oh, jeez, I'm hearing it in White Christmas again. Every single time I hear it, I was like, this belongs in White Christmas. And the other thing is, it doesn't sound that different from the Eagles fight
really,
song.
It kind of has a similar cadence, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really
sound
does.
That different.
But so, all right, if you're saying, which is, I mean, and Joey was saying before the show, too, about... Most teams don't have a fight song, do they?
No, most teams do not.
But the Eagles one is a classic, but I think this one is too. So, all right, who gets the vote? Who's got the better theme song, the Eagles, which we've all heard 6.7 billion times, or the Chicago Bears?
Well, that's the problem, is that it's hard for me to answer that because it's like, is your favorite song still your favorite song after you've listened to it 7,000 times in a row? Like, you know what I mean? At that point, when it comes up on your shuffle, you're like, no, I'm skipping this. I think that from a baseline perspective, I think the Eagles fight song is probably better. But the Bears one is a good one.
I think the Eagles fight song is pretty good. You know, another team that has a good one is Washington, which I know is not politically popular right now. But
it's a good one.
Yeah.
Hail.
Hail to the Redskins, hail victory, Braves on the warpath, fight for old D.C. It's not bad.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. So, like you said, not politically correct.
No, but anyway, I'm sure now the phones are going to light up here. 610-632-0975. Who's got the better fight song?
You unlocked it.
I did. We've tapped into the zeitgeist now, Joey. All right? But anyway, you can't argue with the Eagles fight song and just argue with hearing it 9 million times.
No, my problem is that, like, you know, Pittsburgh has like 10,000 fight songs, right?
Who, the Steelers do or the city of Pittsburgh?
Well, the Steelers do.
Oh, do they?
Like, oh, man. You know they play like Renegade, that Styx song.
And, like, well, that doesn't count. You can't appropriate another song and make that fight song.
They think they did. They've got that Here We Go Steelers song.
Oh, that's it.
And then they got the Pittsburgh Polka song. No, I'm like, they think the black and yellow is their fight. I'm like, they've got a million songs. Give me a break. Pick one.
All right, 610-632-0975. Just a word about, you know, I make it clear, I've made it clear forever that the Bears are who we thought they are, right? I mean, that's... Denny Green was exactly right. They are exactly who we thought they are.
Yes.
They're a team that just... It just at critical moments just can't seem to get it right. Last week, the Bears trail 17-16 to the L.A. Chargers, and they have Joe. I don't know what down it was, but I know there was 40-some seconds left in the game. The Bears had a timeout left. The ball was at about the 25-yard line of the Chargers, and Matt Nagy takes a knee. He goes to victory formation. And I can understand the argument is, hey, we pay a guy to make a 42-yard field goal, right? You should be able to make it, right? So why risk the fumble? Yeah, but what kind of message are we sending here that you don't want to hand it off to a guy, maybe get 3-4 more yards, make it a 37-yarder, and lo and behold, what happened?
Well, and I think that I would have to see the stats. I'm sure that you probably have them, Pat, but I bet that this year missed field goals occur more often than fumbles. Yeah. I would bet that something like that, or if not, it's really close.
Missed kicks, including extra points. Kicks,
yeah.
And they all, Joe, don't they all seem to come in that range? They all seem to come in that extra point range. It's amazing. And that kick missed by, I think if that kick was 3 yards shorter, it's good.
Yeah.
And you could, but what message does it send to your team when you say, we're going to take a knee here? I didn't like it, and sure enough, the karma came back and bit him. And the Bears lose a crucial game. They're sitting here now at 3-4, and they come here to Philadelphia, and they are in grave danger of being out of it. I think if they lose tomorrow, especially with the division, that they have Minnesota 6-2, Green Bay 7-1, Detroit is superior to Chicago. The Bears, who were thought of as a trendy preseason pick, are looking very, very shaky.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to point out, Pat. Do you notice parallels? We were talking about parallels in the fight songs. There are parallels in the storylines about these teams, right? Because there's this unfinished business narrative with the Bears and the step forward from Trubisky and everything else, right? And the Eagles were kind of seen as a Super Bowl contender as well. At this point, they've got a lot of work left to do. So it's interesting how the two teams have kind of lined up as mirror images of each other going into this game.
Yeah. So we got Gary Cobb coming up at the top of the hour. We got Jim McCormick, the fantasy angle. It gets worse and worse. I want to talk to Jim about running backs by committee. It's driving me crazy anymore now. Got to talk to Jimmy about that. Of course, we got South Powell at 11. Still got the usual action-packed show. And then we got, we still got to do this pick segment.
Do we?
I don't know.
Do we have to do
that? That's a sponsor. It's what am I going to do? I sold it. So, you know. So, all right, so Joe, the question is which Eagle team is showing up tomorrow? Is it the one that went into Buffalo and just punched the Bills right in the face? Yeah, or is it the team that just all of a sudden puts up a desultory game like the Eagles have already this season against Dallas and against Detroit?
I thought that I had the team figured out where they'd play up to their competition or play down to their competition. But then you see the Dallas game and the Minnesota game where they don't show up against pretty good teams. Buffalo looked like a good team. Then they beat them pretty handily. I can't figure them out. Just from an ebbs and flows of the season standpoint, it feels like maybe it's good Eagles time again. But it's hard for me to put hard, cold cash on it because, let's face it, you don't know when the Atlanta team could come out or the Detroit team could come out or even the Green Bay first half team comes out where you don't see a team that's really all that competitive.
I know. But I think this is a game where the Eagles can really, I think, Joe, they can make a mark here. I mean, they can put down a marker, if I can abuse the phrase, and really smack the Bears. You know what I mean? And really send a message to the league that, hey, you've forgotten about this team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We are still in it to win it because... I don't know. I know that this Bear defense, I've heard all about it, how scary it is, and Khalil Mack. Okay. And it is a potentially bad matchup tomorrow, right?
Sure.
Dillard against Mack, right?
Yeah.
All right. But I mean, the Eagles could step up tomorrow and send a signal to the league with a 2-touchdown or a 17-point win against the Bears that don't count as anything.
Yeah, especially heading into the bye week, you're building your confidence. You get to refocus on the two massive games that are on the other side. A win here would be massive in terms of saving the Eagles season. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. He's Pat Callahan. I'm Joe Torti. We'll be right back with more This Week in Pro Football.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All All right, Callahan and Torrey back here this week in pro football. 97.5 The Fanatic and the National Football League, broadcasting live from the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Bensalem, PA. Joey T and I are just talking about the Eagles' opponent tomorrow, the dreaded Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway. Here you go, JT. Since 2000, let me rattle off to you this murderer's row of Chicago Bear quarterbacks.
I'm ready.
How about Cade McNown, Shane Matthews, Jim Miller, Craig Kensel. You remember him, right, Craig Kensel? He's probably eligible for the Hall of Fame now.
The old Ohio State guy?
I don't know. Kyle Orton. Remember him? Joey brought him up.
Of course. Kyle Orton.
Super Rex. Who can forget him? You know, then they had a number of years with Jay Cutler. And Cutler, though, he was probably the most talented Bears quarterback in the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But he was a goofball, right?
It's true everywhere where Jay Cutler goes.
You know, how about Caleb Haney? How about, let's not forget him, huh? Jimmy Clausen, you know, Brian Hoyer. Oh, my God.
Man,
remember,
Brian Hoyer was
They signed Mike Glennon for a fortune.
Yes, and never really got into it.
No, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really good. Really, really good. And you talk about, we've been pointing at John Elway and how much he can't really evaluate quarterback talent well as a GM. The Bears not very far ahead of the Broncos at all in that
regard. No, they got a real beaut playing for them now. A guy that they traded up and gave up some serious draft coin to move up one spot in the draft. I mean, I talk about, thank God for the 49ers that John Lynch was in that day when that
right.
phone call came in. And Lynch must have been, you know how sometimes you do a take, you stare at your phone, like, am I really hearing this? Yeah, am I being punked here? And he gets a call from whoever the Bears dimwit was in Chicago and gets a haul of additional draft picks to trade down one spot when Lynch had no intention of taking Mitchell Trubisky. And there you go.
It's a hard sell to say that anybody else was going to trade up too, because you saw Mahomes go and Watson go way after that. So I don't know. That's a bad trade.
Trubisky has played six games so far this year, Joey. He's got a 64.6 completion percentage. So what? He's averaging 182 yards a game.
Yikes.
Five touchdown passes. God's sake. They stink. If the Eagles don't run them out of town on a rail tomorrow, I think that would be way more an indictment of Philadelphia than Chicago. But, I mean, the Eagles, they just can't mess around here. You know what I mean? Just punch this team in the face in the first quarter, get up 14-0, and then say, all right, go ahead, Mitch. Go win the game.
Well, the question that we always had, right, is can the Eagles' defense do enough to keep bad teams out of it? You know what I mean? So, right. Like, if Trubisky gets into a rhythm on his first offensive drive, it's like, really? Like, are we going to really play this game? But if you force a turnover or a three and out or something like that, and then your offense gets off to a hot start, the Bears might go away for all we know.
That's a conventional wisdom in the NFL. Don't let Mitchell Trubisky get into a rhythm.
Because you don't want to be the first one, I guess.
I think the rhythm maybe is the Chicago Bear fight song. I think maybe he's good at that. I don't know. But, I mean, the Eagles got to just punch this guy's lights out tomorrow and be done with it and get into the bye week. And then, like you say, get ready for that two-week gauntlet. And then, boy, if the Eagles go 2-1 out of this, they go 2-1 out of these next three home games, Joe, they're going to be in great shape to win the division. And anyway, that's what you're talking about doing right now, is winning the division. Right?
Well, especially if you're able to take care of business, like you said, go 2-1, you're probably getting ready. You're probably in position where you're not going to get boat raced by Dallas. You're probably in position where you're going to start taking care of business against these bad teams. You're not going to have the letdown against Washington. You're not going to be the one team that Miami beats. You're not going to give it up to the Giants. I mean, this seems like it could be poised for a big Eagles right here.
We got 5 minutes here. Somebody call, give us a call. 610-632-0975. Torrey answered my first trivia question, which, by the way, is presented by the good folks at Norris Sales. I'm not doing it this way this year, but let's get going here. All I asked Joey T was, name me the player who holds the Chicago Bears all-time record for pass receptions. You got it, right?
I did get it.
The Chicago Bears all-time record for most pass receptions. Somebody can win a $25 gift card to Chickies and Peach, your favorite local sports bar, Crab House, every Monday night starting at 6 p.m. Or you can eat Chickies wings and world-famous crab fries for just $19.99. All right, JT. We got Gary Cobb coming up at the top of the hour.
Yes.
And so let me ask you this, Joey. who was the Eagles MVP for the first half of the season? Eagles have played 8 weeks.
My goodness.
Who is the Philadelphia Eagles' most valuable player right now?
Carson Wentz, probably, just by default. I don't think that there's anybody who particularly acquitted themselves in a way that you said, this guy's an obvious MVP candidate. For me, DeSean Jackson is a candidate just because you saw what the offense looks like when he's not in relative to what it's like when he is in. Hard for me to pick out a decisive MVP here.
I don't have any. 4-4, I think you're right. I think it's hard to really single anybody out. Wentz's statistics, Joe, are okay. A 94 passer rating, 14 touchdowns, 4 picks. That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yep.
So, yeah, I think he would certainly be on that list. But it's hard to say. I wish they'd give Jordan Howard the ball a ton more, right? I think they're going to do it maybe tomorrow. Of course, it's my old team thing. But I think he could be a big-time player for the Eagles in the second half.
I do, too. I think that could be a big-time boon to them. Let's go to Lou in West Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Lou?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
All right, Lou.
Well, listen, honestly, I think that the onus is on the defense to set the tone. You know, I'm not saying that the offense has been playing lights out, because they haven't, obviously. But I think that when the defense gets off to a good start, that it sets the tone for the game, and that kind of ignites the offense a little bit. So I'm really hoping that that if we do get, like, if we win the coin toss, that we put the pressure on the defense to start the game off in the right way.
So you didn't approve last week, or against Dallas, rather, the plan to win the coin toss and then put the offense on the field. Because I agree with you, Lou, generally speaking, that I always like putting the defense out there. But with the Eagles' slow starts offensively, it does make you wonder what they're going to do here.
Yeah, I definitely get that. But I just think that if we can just get, like, in Trubisky's head really early, he's not good at all. Like, he's really not good. You know, I've watched this kid for a few years now.
That's a little harsh.
No, listen. I mean, I know we're playing a guy tomorrow, and I get that. But at the end of the day, I look at his skill set, and I don't think that they use him the right way. They definitely don't use him the right way. And his ball throwing ability is not that great. So, like, if we could get out and just pounce on him and get in his head early, I think that changes the whole game, man.
Right. You're exactly right. Hey, Lou, do you know the answer to my question here? Who holds the Chicago Bears all-time record for most pass receptions?
Most pass receptions? Goodness. Oh, Lord. No, I don't.
No, it's not him. But, I mean, it was a good guess. A safe guess.
Yeah, it's always
good. He could have been. If he wanted to be, he would have been.
I'll tell you what, that is cruel for him to be like, Mitchell Trubisky's not good. People to come over.
Where he got that idea.
Oh, that's a little harsh. Man, oh, man. That is tough. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Mo in Richboro next on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mo?
Hey, good morning, everyone. How y'all doing?
All right, Mo.
So, I just want to talk about the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it's in the bag. I think it's a lock.
Bag.
Mitchell Trubisky is not a good quarterback. I watched that draft. I could not believe they passed up on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to move up one spot to get this bump. He is terrible.
There you go.
And exactly what you guys said. He's not going to start out. He's going to get there. He's going to be a little flustered. He's going to be coming to the link. No way.
Punch him in the mouth. Right after the national anthem. Just punch him right in the face. That's what they got to do. That's it. That's how they win the game tomorrow.
Come out on fire.
Do you know this answer, Mo? Come on. Give me this. Who's the Chicago Bear most all-time pass receptions?
Chicago Bears.
Bear down, Mo. Come on.
Is it Walter Payton?
It is Walter Payton. Nice job. Hold on, Mo. Shemp will grab you, and we'll give you the $25 gift card to Chickies and Pete's. There you go, Joey T.
All right. That didn't take long.
Not a lot of love for Mitchell Trubisky. I don't understand it.
You've been waving his flag all morning. I don't know why this hasn't worked out. 610-632-0975. Pat Callahan and Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.